Well, hey there. Welcome back to another great episode of the Brighter Web podcast, where we are talking to some of our friends and experts in the field of digital marketing to help make marketing a little bit easier for you. I am excited to be joined by an awesome guest, a good friend of the show, Adam Walker. Adam, welcome to the Brighter Web podcast.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, so why don't you tell people a little bit about who you are? Give us your background and why you made it onto the Brighter Web podcast today, because we have a very high standard for who we invite onto the show.
Oh man, well that's, I mean, I basically made it on because I beat Mickey in so many games. Like that's really the, like gotcha. That's the criteria. No, so who am I? I'm a husband first, father of five. I wear hats, wear fedoras. This isn't video, so you can't see it, but I'm wearing a fedora now.
Yeah, check them out on social media to get those fedora snaps.
Yeah, sure. Look me up on social media. And I do marketing. I've done marketing for most of my career. I had a marketing agency we sold in 2019. I've worked as a chief marketing officer. Now I do a lot of fractional CMO work, some marketing consulting, and I also have a marketing content / podcast agency as well. So I think I'm on the podcast so we can talk about content and because you all like me. I'm pretty sure those are the reasons. Probably the liking first and then the content second. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, you're a good guy to have on the podcast and you're going to say nice things about us and we can do the same for you.
I could be persuaded with an Amazon gift card, perhaps.
Fair enough. We'll take that into consideration. Another thing I wanted to, so you and I first got connected through 48 and 48.
Which oh, yeah,
is another
that's right. Yeah.
organization that you're a part of. So why don't you give them a little plug? Because that's
somebody
I've always been a fan of.
Yeah, so 48 and 48, we started in 2015. It's a pretty simple concept. Can we get a bunch of friends together and can we build 48 free nonprofit websites in 48 hours for nonprofits with kind of our marketing friends? And it turned out we could, shockingly. And then we decided to expand. And the next year we did it in two cities. And the next year we did it in four cities and just grew and grew and grew. And I think to date, 48 and 48 has built approximately 1,100 free nonprofit websites, free to build nonprofit right. websites, and engaged with about, I think, 10,000 volunteers, if I'm not mistaken. We've got an
awesome.
Event coming up, I think, next month that is the Women's Build event. So it's all teams of women that are all building the sites for various organizations and charities all across the world, actually. And pretty excited about it. So if you want to build a website for a good cause in a weekend, go to 48and48.org and sign up to volunteer. And if you're a nonprofit that needs a website, we're always looking for more nonprofits to build websites for. So go sign up for that too.
Yes. Well, as one of those 10,000 volunteers who has helped build some of those sites, it's a really cool experience and something, that I would really encourage people to check out. That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about today, but it is marketing and it is related to content marketing.
It's marketing. Yeah. I mean, you have to have content on a website for it to perform, you know, like decent
Absolutely.
Content. So I think it applies.
Yeah. So let's try that segue again. Content marketing. That's what we're talking about today. you are the expert, the guy who we like to turn to talk about all things content marketing. But why? What is it about specifically content marketing that intrigues you and that is something that you're focusing on?
Well, I mean, a couple of reasons, right? I think the first is that as a marketer, you have to recognize that we live in an attention economy, meaning that as a marketer, you are vying for someone's attention the same way that Netflix is vying for their attention, the same way that Facebook and Instagram and TikTok are vying for their attention, the same way that their two-year-old's vying for their attention. And so in order to get that attention, you've got to earn it. And the only way to earn it is with valuable content.
Yes.
And so what I like about content is that if it's done well, or what I like about content marketing is that if it's done well, it should drive all other marketing efforts. And so if you create good quality content, you can turn that into paid ads that reflect back to your good quality content. If you create good quality content, you can put that on social media and you can draw it back to your content. You can put it on all of the different digital platforms and draw it back to your content. So it can power your ads. It can power your search engine optimization, Google SEO, whatever. It can power paid media. It can power all of that. And what I really love is helping an organization find what their passion is for creating a long form piece of content and then turning that into all of the other content to flood across all of the other channels.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah, that's why it's important. There's, I'm sure, a lot of different perception of what content marketing is. And a lot of those things are right. It can mean many, many different things. Like when you think of content marketing or trying to explain it to somebody who maybe is a novice at all this, how do you go about unpacking what content marketing looks like?
It's earning the right. It's creating content that earns the right to be in front of your target audience. And it earns the right by being content that is meaningful to them in some way. And by meaningful, I mean, it either helps them in some capacity or it entertains them. I mean, a lot of our content that we consume is entertainment based, or it improves their lives somehow. Right. Yeah. And so when I think about like the content that I consume, it all kind of falls into that. It has to do something for me, and then it earns the right to have my attention, and therefore the brand that created it earns the right to have my respect and my attention and potentially my business based on that.
Yeah. So does that look like blog posts? Does that look like video? Like what are the different forms that content can take?
Yeah. I mean, so it's going to, like, in answering that question, right, you have to think about like, what does the audience want to consume? Number one, and what can you as the organization actually produce on a consistent basis? Because the reality is, right, like I could say to you, like, well, it's got to be video. Well, the problem is there's a million people out there that are never going to create video, but they might be willing to write. And if they're a great writer, then I'd say write. Like, if you're a great writer and you can create an audience around that, write and push it out on a blog and push it out in an email newsletter and create an atomic newsletter from it and push it out on LinkedIn and push it like there's so many different, put it on Medium. Like, you can put it on so many different places. And so first you have to understand like, is there a space where your audience wants to consume content that dovetails and connects with the space where you are comfortable and able to create content? And if there is, then you've got a winning formula and you should double down on that and create an insane amount of content around that. And then use that to power everything else.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the big, I think, pitfalls is we fall into the trends of feeling the need to do video or podcasts or whatever the big next thing is, rather than just figuring out what's the best context for me how can I sustainably create content that's going to reach our audience.
That's right. Yeah. Cause if you have a choice, like, okay, I can, you know, if I'm a business, say, okay, I can create a podcast, but I've only got the capacity to create one a month, but I can write a 300-word blog post twice a week. Well, then you should write blog posts like all day long. Like, that's what you should do, especially if it's valuable. Now, but the flip side is, well, if you say, well, I love being in front of the camera, but I don't love the editing. Well, get in front of the camera and record a bunch of raw footage and then get some, you know, college kid to edit it down for you with CapCut or whatever else. And then use that as your content. Like, that's fine too. But whatever you can do, like create great content that will connect with your audience, whatever format that happens to be.
Yeah. So again, a lot of big brands are doing content on a huge scale. And like you mentioned up front, this is the way we stand out. This is the way we try to get people's attention, which is the currency of the internet. Yep. That's a lot harder for like a small business. And a lot of our listeners are small business owners or they're small business marketers. How do you make that a little bit more practical and achievable for them if they feel like a little overwhelmed that how do I manage all this stuff? How do I figure out the right way to create a strategy that is sustainable for my business?
Yeah. Let me give you an example, actually from yesterday. I think that'll be helpful. So one of my roles, I'm a fractional CMO for a marketing agency that only does marketing for law firms. Like, that's all they only work with law firms of a specific size. Okay. I'm talking to the sales guy yesterday. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm talking to these lawyers and they're all saying like, hey, these guys are on TikTok and they're getting all these followers and they're doing this and they're doing this. And why aren't we on TikTok? Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we on social? Why aren't we on SEO? And he's like, and I'm having to explain to them, there's a very big difference between a TikTok campaign and platform and plan and an SEO platform and plan and a paid media like Google Ads platform, right? Like, in plan. And so I was like, okay, well, then why don't we just create a white paper explaining the difference between those and why you would use each one and what the benefits and repercussions are for each one. And then let's take that and then cut it up and use that across social media and point people back to the white paper. And like that's obviously a piece of content that they need because they're lacking understanding.
Right.
And they think there's an easy win here and there's not an easy win. They don't understand that. And so let's explain that to them with a piece of content that also happens to, you know, bring them to our website and get us their email address and like all the other things, right? And so I think what you've got to do from a content perspective, you have to talk to your customers and understand what are they struggling with. Like a great example for Green Melon might potentially be like, what are the SEO myths to look out for? When you're hiring an agency, when should you run? Like that'd be a great white paper. Like when to run from an agency, right? Like, you know, so but things that have genuine value for your customers, and then you create content around it and you just give it away and they love it because it helps them. And then it, you know, inevitably they're going to come back your direction because you helped them. People love to work with people that help them.
Undoubtedly. Yeah. That's oftentimes the keys that I look for when trying to create content. Yeah. What are those questions? What are those tension points and those conversations that we're having maybe again and again and again with a client or a customer to say like, hey, you had this question just like 20 of our previous clients have before.
Yep.
We actually wrote a blog post and recorded a video and recorded a podcast episode on that very topic.
Yeah.
Here's a link. So it's not necessarily like SEO is a great use case, but so is sending something directly, a piece of valuable content to someone.
That's right. Well, and it gives you an excuse to reach out to them, right? Like, hey, you know, you asked about this. We created this piece of content. Here it is. You know, wanted to make sure you have that in your hand. But another way to look at it too is like you could get on Google Trends and understand what questions are people asking on Google Trends related to that specific audience, you know, or you can get on Google and look at like the autocomplete, like, you know, what do I need to ask when I talk to blank or what, you know what I mean? Like there's so much content you can create to answer these basic questions that people have. And I think what ends up happening for you and I, and for a lot of companies is we're so steeped in what we do that we think like, well, why would we create a piece of content around what to look for in an SEO company? Like, it's so basic, but like, it's not basic to somebody that doesn't do this every day.
Right.
So we gotta create that content, you know?
Don't assume that other people know, assume that they can benefit from the knowledge that you have.
That's right. Because we've gained that knowledge over, you know, over decades, you know, and other people have not had that knowledge over decades. And so what seems simple is often not simple, and we can therefore make it simple in the form of content that we use to help other people.
Yes. So before we wrap up, I do want to touch on one topic that I'm sure is on everybody's mind, not just content marketing in general, but artificial intelligence is obviously drastically changing the landscape of everything.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure by the time we record and publish this episode, it will have changed even more drastically. But let's take a kind of a general stab at that, because you're a very wise tech person with a tech podcast, I would also mention.
I try.
So maybe give us a plug for Tech Talk, y'all, and talk about how you see AI impacting content marketing in the near or far future.
Yeah. So, all right. So a couple things. First, my tech news podcast, as you mentioned, is called Tech Talk, y'all. We do technology news every week, what's happening in technology for this week. So check that out. We also have like a tech recommendation every week on the podcast. So AI is interesting because it's going to replace crappy and mediocre content. And I don't think that matters very much because crappy and mediocre content typically does not rise to the top anyway.
Yeah.
And so it really doesn't make it. It's kind of like saying like, you know, you and I mean, I'm sure you're on social media. I'm sure you follow various people. So if I were to say to you like, hey, go like create a piece of content that's super funny. That might not be, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not always super funny. Like I think I'm funny, but I'm probably not.
Yeah.
So I don't have like, it's like, so the way I think of it is like saying to a piece of AI, write a really quality piece of content. It's kind of like saying to an average person, like go do a 5-minute stand-up set. Like we can do it and we might get a giggle, but you're not going to get any slapstick, you know, guffaws. I think that's the type of laugh. Like nobody's going to be belly laughing at what I have to say. But if I say to a comedian, and I know many, hey, go do a 5-minute set, like they're going to crush it. And so I think that's kind of the difference is like people that are specialists that are creating high quality content are going to continue to excel because AI can't produce that level of quality, at least not yet. And I think it'll be a while before AI can get to that point. Because the other way to look at it too, I was reading something the other day, is that AI and deep learning knowledge, or what's the word I'm looking for?
Large language models, maybe?
Yeah. Thank you. Large language models. They're all based on what's past. Like, their entire knowledge is past. They've consumed past content. So they're not pushing the envelope forward into new. They're really more focused on regurgitating what's past. And so, again, as we create content, we create new things, we innovate. That's going to be more on the human side, I think.
Yeah, I love that perspective. And that's certainly something that I found as well, that it can create kind of passable, below par content very, very quickly. And that's what people are astounded by, is just the volume and the scale that it's able to do. But yeah, I think it's not going to write something that's nearly as good as, you know, a professional novelist. It's not going to create video right now that's what a professional videographer is able to create.
Not yet.
Correct.
I will say it is really good for outlines. Like, it's great for like, I've used it for many outlines and even like realized, oh man, like I'll say like, hey, I need to write a section about this. And I'll have like two or three points that I've thought of, and it'll come back and spit out 10. And I'm like, oh crap, those are really good. Like, I didn't think about those other seven, you know? So it is good for that. I think it's really helpful there.
Yeah. It can elevate, if you already know what you're doing, it can elevate what you're doing, but it's never going to replace those other pieces, those connections you're able to make as a smart thinking human being.
Yeah. Well, least, I don't know about never, but at least not now, right? Not today. So I think there's still space. I mean, the reality is, like, there's always space for creativity. I guess that's what it boils down to. And good content marketing should hold space for creativity in whatever sphere you're an expert in.
Yeah. So we've touched on a lot of different pieces of content marketing. It can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be for small businesses. Is there one piece of practical advice that you would give to the marketer who's listening to this podcast, who maybe isn't doing anything with content marketing right now, but wants to get started? Where's the best place to take a first step?
Yeah. So I would say, yes, there's a simple path to get started. The first is to decide what type of content can you create that has immense value to your audience, and how consistently can you create that content? I've mentioned blog posts, or let's say podcast for now, because I've got a podcast agency and we do this, right? So let's say it's a podcast and you decide, hey, we can do a podcast. We can do an episode a week. That's easy. It's all interview based, like you and I are doing. That's easy.
Right.
I can get 52 people to interview a year. That's no problem. And so I would say, create the long form piece of content, which is the podcast, and then look at that and go, okay, now what can I create from this? Because you have this thing. And so in an ideal world, you'd capture audio and video. I know you're not using the video right now for this. Maybe this will inspire you to do it, but ideally, in an ideal world, you capture audio and video, and you go, okay, well, you know, you can get a bunch of 30-second quotes from this piece of content. You can get pull quotes. Like, so if I happen to say a phrase that's actually usable in a graphic pull quote, then you can create a pull quote graphic from it and put my ridiculous face on there with my hat in like the quote. You know, you can, what else can you do? You can do transcripts, and then you can optimize those transcripts and put them on your website, and hope maybe Google will help index those, and it might help in some of your SEO efforts. You can do a full length video and put it on YouTube. Like, there's like, you can take one 20-minute podcast and literally turn it into every social media post you need for an entire week or two.
Sure.
And empower all of the stuff you do. You can feature it in your newsletter. So much stuff you can do. So I would say, start with a big core piece of content and then build out all of the infrastructure from that, and then do it again and do it again, and then create systems to optimize it and make it faster and faster, and do it again and again and again. And eventually you're creating massive amounts of content that have great value, and you're building an audience around that piece of content.
Sure. But you're spending more time slicing and repurposing the content you've already created, because you've spent time on it, rather than just trying to recreate the wheel every single time.
Yep.
A blog post that's not related to a video, that's not related to a podcast episode. Because you can pour a lot of time and attention into that and not have it reach the people like you'd want it to.
Well, in creating it's daunting if you think about it, right? So think of, like,
sure,
if you say to me, like, Adam, I need you to create 7 social posts for this week that are totally unrelated to anything. Like, well, that I hate that idea.
Sure.
But if you were to say, like, hey, Adam, here's the blog, here's the podcast, listen to that for 20 minutes, then use that to create 7 social posts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's easy. Like, I can do that in 30 minutes. Like, that's no problem at all. You just listen to the podcast, pause, type it out, listen to the podcast, pause, type the next one out. I mean, it's super easy. So I think it's easier to do content marketing than most marketers realize. You just have to commit and double down and do the work.
Sure. Yeah. And you're not starting from a blank page, whereas a lot of people get stuck. You're starting with a good piece of content that you can then pull from and be inspired. Yeah, I love that. And I wish more people would take that approach, but it takes some intentionality to build out a plan to actually execute on that.
Yeah, it does. It does. And some people don't want to do it, which is why I have an agency that does that. But but I would say it is doable if you want to take the time to do it.
Absolutely. So speaking of which, how can people connect with you? What is your agency if people want to begin implementing this but not do it themselves?
Well, listen, I'm gonna plug like a bunch of stuff here just because I can, and we're friends. So the first is, if you're a nonprofit and need a website, go to 48and48.org. The second is, if you want to look at my podcast agency and see what we do, it's edgewise.media is the podcast and content marketing agency. Third, I would mention is a software that I've been starting forever with a friend of mine called Together Letters. It helps people stay in touch with one another without the need for social media. So I'll leave it at that. A cliffhanger there. Go check it out.
It's a great tool. I'll give it a thumbs up. We use it. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So togetherletters.com. And then last is just go to my website, adamjwalker.com. I do have a blog. I've not been as consistent on it as I probably should be, and argued that I should be on this particular episode. So I'll make sure to rectify that in the very immediate future. So adamjwalker.com, check it out.
The truth is, it's a lot easier to create content for the people who pay us to do it.
Yeah, it is.
Than it is to create content for ourselves.
That's right.
But it's still important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Adam, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We will certainly, as is the expectation, link all of those things in the show notes of this episode in case you guys want to check out any of those cool projects that Adam is a part of. Hopefully this makes content marketing and digital marketing just a little bit easier for you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Brighter Web Podcast.